Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Amazing. It's good to see you all this morning. I'm excited to start this new series with you. This series is called Anointed. And just as Pastor Ali was saying and Greg was saying just then, like, we are all part of his mission, his team. Like, that's not like you don't go to a church, you are the church. But going to a place where we meet as the church is part of who we are. It's part of God's amazing blueprint where we gather around together, because there's just something that he does that's different when we gather together in a room. They were gathered in the upper room and God turned up. They gathered around the foot of a mountain because that's God, what God instructed them to do. And what did he do? He turned up. Everywhere we gather in his name, he promises he will turn up. And that's why we gather in these moments. But we don't just gather to stay in these moments, but we're gathered to scatter. Because that's the next thing he does, is he gathers us together in a room and then he scatters us out into all the world, carrying his anointing with us into all of those places. No matter where you find yourself. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? I'm excited because God is building his kingdom. He's extending his kingdom, and the people that he chose to use for that is me and you. Doesn't it feel really unlikely? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I know I pretend like I've got loads of confidence and stuff, right? But sometimes I'm stood here and I'm going, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I was prepping this message this week, and I basically sat in front of my notebook and went, I don't know what to do, Lord. And he's like, it's okay, because I've anointed you and I've called you. I've appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to plant and to build. That's what he's called us to do. He's anointed us. So I'm just making it up now. Okay. But we're in this series, and our key verse, and I encourage you, when we're doing these series and we bring a key verse, I encourage you just to, like, sit around that verse during the time, because it's something that God, like, we don't just pick ideas out of thin air, but we spend hours praying into what we feel God wants to say into his church. And so here's a really helpful verse for us in this season. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 1 from verse 21, it says this: now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. In other words, he gave us his name. Just like I took Liam's name, which is much worse than my maiden name, but I took Liam's name when I got married. He's anointed us. He's set his seal of ownership on us. He's placed his name on us. His name of authority, of ownership, of approval is on us. And he put his spirit in our hearts. He's not just approved of us, but he's empowered us. How amazing is that? As a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You are anointed. That, there's no like if, but, or maybe. Like, the Bible says, if you've received Jesus, you've been filled with his Holy Spirit, if you've recognized him as the Lord and Savior of your life, he's anointed you. He's anointed me. He's anointed us. But more than that, he's not just given us like this little thing, now just crack on with it, but he's given us his full approval. How wild is that? Like, imagine understanding that, really comprehending that he has approved you. You are fully approved. Yeah. What? That's wild. And then he's empowered us with his spirit. When I am not enough, when I'm staring at my notebook and my Bible going, I don't know what to say on Sunday, and this is the only moment I've got to look at this, I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver what He's anointed me to do. When I'm staring at my family going, I don't know how to lead you in this moment. Guess what? I am fully approved. I am fully empowered to lead in that moment because He's put His presence, His anointing within me. When I'm staring at my work colleagues and we're trying to figure out how to do this thing, we're trying to figure out how to fix the NHS, we're trying to figure out how to make this month's budget work, we're trying to figure out how we can keep our staff on even though the prices are going skyrocketing. Even all of those moments, we can look at that moment knowing I am fully anointed for this. I am fully approved by God to lead in this moment, and I am empowered by His Spirit to make the right decision. That's what my Bible says. Question is, do I actually live like that? You know, we might describe anointing as this: God's favor and Holy Spirit empowerment to establish the ever-expanding work of His hands. You know, the Bible talks quite a lot about, especially in the Old Testament, about the hand of God coming upon somebody, which is kind of like a symbol of this anointing moment that that in the Old Testament would come and go, but when we got given the Holy Spirit as a seal of His approval, which we've just read in that there, we have that all the time, but it would say that the hand of God would come upon them. And I think anointing is a lot like this. You know, when I go anywhere with my kids, and quite often they'll see somebody like Pastor Ali, and Ali will want to talk to them, not me, and they will stand just in front of me here, and they'll kind of like lean slightly against me, and in that moment I place my hand on their shoulder. And as I place my hand, you might remember your parents placing their hand on your shoulder. Place my hand on their shoulder. As I place my hand on their shoulder, that's a signal to them that they fully have my approval, they fully have my authority, and they fully know their purpose. That they don't have to fear in that interaction, but they can open their mouth and respond how they need to respond to that moment because they have my full approval, they have my full authority, and they understand their purpose because of those things. And when the hand of God comes upon us, it comes upon us to give us confidence in that moment to understand, you have my full approval, says the Lord. You have my full authority, says the Lord, and I have given you so much purpose, you will not know what to do with it. And I think that in this moment, in our history as a church, in our history as the church, God is saying, I'm placing my hand upon you to remind you that you are anointed, that you have been set apart with my approval, with my authority, and with my purpose that I need you to outwork on the earth. And I don't know how you walked in here today. You might have walked in here today feeling disappointed and despondent. You might have walked in here today not realizing that you're here for a purpose. You might have come here today because your wife dragged you along. You might have come in here today because it's just your habit of doing. But I want you to know today that you are here because God has a great purpose for you. He's anointing you. He is giving you His approval. And God is going to do something mighty and miraculous through us. So we are going to have some stories in this series about some amazing Bible characters who demonstrate aspects of the anointing of God that He has given us. It's my prayer that we will awaken to His anointing on our lives. Have you ever noticed how, I don't know, it might just be a my family thing, but there's like, at Christmas, the best china came out. Do you know what I mean? There was like this mysterious cupboard in kitchens or in dining rooms, and in this mysterious cupboard was like grandma's best china. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? If you didn't, like, that's be blessed, because it means nothing, right? But when I was growing up, there was like grandma's best china, and it was this mysterious china that only came out for special occasions. And I think that in this story we're going to read in Isaiah 6, it's God's moment of displaying to Isaiah and to the people that Isaiah is His best China. Isaiah is his best China. And I can't remember if I was going to do this illustration later or not, so we're going to do it now. But I told you, I sat with my notebook for a long time this week. I brought today with me Auntie Sue's Prada bag. Okay, she's not here today, but Sue Steed gives me all her, because she can afford to shop in Prada. I can't. And she's like, would you like my Prada bag? Yes, I would. Yeah, I really would. And in this beautiful bag is not a little Prada purse. That would be nice, though, wouldn't it? Maybe one day. But in this bag is actually something way more precious. See, I use this bag to pretend like I've got money. I use this bag to pretend that I'm bougie and stuff. But the truth is, I'm not, okay? But I use this bag to pretend. And so sometimes if I'm going somewhere fancy, I'll just take that with me. Or sometimes I'll go to Tesco's and I'll use that to put my, you know, just, you know, I'm telling you the truth about my character here, okay? It's flawed, greatly flawed. But inside this bag, let me unwrap it. And I don't know whether my mum's going to be horrified of what I brought here. Now this, oh, I should have cleaned it. This is my great-great grandmother's cocktail set. Okay, so this is one of many glasses like this and a beautiful jug, right? And Amy's like, where's mine? You'll get your heirloom in your own time. This is a family heirloom, everybody. I should have just warned my sister I had beforehand. Now, this is an actual heirloom. This is actually very precious to me. And it has full worth, but I've placed it in a bag pretending that it needs to be worth more than it actually is. And quite often what we end up doing is with the anointing that we have from God, we nick Auntie Sue's bag to make something look more posh and more expensive, more worthy than it actually is, when what's inside is actually an heirloom that's been set apart in the first place. But this amazing heirloom, prized possession, doesn't need a Prada bag to make it any more worthy. It just is what it is. And in this moment in Isaiah, what we see is God saying, I'm going to set you apart. I'm going to set you apart. Let's read it together. And this is an amazing moment from verse 1, I think we'll go from. It says this: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, while two covered their feet, and with two they were flying. That's called multitasking. And they were calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. This beautiful, glorious moment that Isaiah is witnessing. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This amazing, beautiful moment, before we go any further, this crazy moment is a moment where God is revealing his glory, his holiness to Isaiah, which is like weird when we read it, because we can't get our head around like what's going on in these verses. But what God is saying is, he's saying, I am the family heirloom. I am grandma's china. I am these things. I am holy and precious and worthy in this moment. And in this moment, God is saying, I am going to set you apart with my holiness. Have you ever noticed that his holiness makes us wildly aware of our weakness? His holiness makes us wildly aware of my humanness. Look, let's see what happens to Isaiah. This is his response to see in this moment, okay? Are you ready? He says this in verse 5. Woe to me. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty." This moment that Isaiah is having is a moment where he is having the holiness, the full holiness of God revealed to him. And he is seeing it and going, "Woe to me." It's like that moment when, have you ever received a piece of work back from a teacher and they don't use a blue pen, they don't use a black pen, they use a red pen. And they red pen all, over my work anyway, Greg's would have been all right. But they would red pen all over my work. And in that moment, it would make me furious. How dare you tell me that I am wrong? I still have that problem. But red pen all over my work. And it's like this is a red pen moment for Isaiah. And sometimes when we come into God's holiness, the first thing our flesh, our body, our natural selves do, what we do is we respond to the red pen of his holiness. And we go, "Woe to me." And we do one of two things in that moment. We hide away and we run away and we resolve ourselves to our own arrogance. Or we humbly come before him and go, "I need you, Jesus." Yeah. That's the two options that we have in that moment. His holiness is setting us apart. You see, red pen isn't designed to make us feel bad. Red pen, what the teacher is actually doing in that moment is she's like, "Come up to where I am. Come up to what I can see. Come up a little higher. Come up and see what you actually need to do. See what you're actually capable of. See where you could actually live. See where you could actually understand." And God's holiness is never, ever going to expel you out of his environment. What it's doing is saying, "I'm holy and I want to bring you up to where I am. I want you to come and sit from my vantage point. I want you to receive my holiness too." God is a holy God and he is setting us apart with his holiness. You see, the next thing that happens is this. So Isaiah's going, "Woe to me! I'm ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips." And then what happens is this. It's weird, but we're going to go with it. "Then one of the seraphim," angel, whatever you want to call it, "flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar." What's the altar? It's the place of holiness. There is no other place that is more holy, right? In the Israel environment, when they understood that they were ministering before the Lord and they had this altar, this was a holy place. And this seraphim takes his holiness from the fire and he brings it to Isaiah, and it says this, "With it, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" You see, his holiness brings us to a place where he doesn't just lord it over us and said, "Well, I'm holy." No, his holiness, when it comes to us, it makes us holy. He took his holiness and made you and I holy. This is what Jesus did on the cross. It's what he did when he put his Holy Spirit in us. He took his holiness. That means I don't have to scrape around to figure it out and how to have this righteousness on my own, but he places his holiness in us. Wow. How mad is that? That God would cleanse me. He places his holiness in us. We see we're set apart with his approval. In that moment, what God is doing is he's saying, I know that you're a man of unclean lips. I choose you anyway. I know you can't do it on your own. I choose you anyway. I know you keep messing up and doing the same thing over and over again. I choose you anyway. We're set apart by his holiness and we're set apart with his approval. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." We have been fully approved. Big tick over your life. Like, I can't explain to you how much God wants to reveal to you in this moment that you are fully approved, fully loved in this moment. I need you to know that in 2 Corinthians, it says this, that I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. And the second thing he says is this, I have reconciled you to Christ completely. That means you are fully approved. Fully approved in this moment. You know, is there anyone more audacious, more bold, more courageous than a child that knows that they are fully approved of? Almost annoying sometimes, isn't it? Like there is, like my kids are fully approved of me. And that means that they will walk in my house with their dirty shoes. They will walk up to my fridge. They will fling the door open and they will take my piece of cake. And they will eat it. I think there's something around this moment where God is saying, hey, fling your way into my house, open up my fridge, eat my cake, and enjoy it like it's yours. Like he is fully approved of us. He has reconciled you. He has made you a new creation in him. Imagine how differently we would live if we lived like we were fully approved. Imagine how differently we would live. Imagine the prayers we would pray if we lived fully approved. Like Jesus looks at his people and he's like, well, which one of you, if your child asked you for bread, would give him a stone instead? In other words, what he's saying is, you've got full approval, so ask like you've got full approval. Make your way to the fridge. Imagine the prayers we would pray. Imagine the decisions we would make if we knew that we were fully approved. I'd make wild decisions. I'd make wilder decisions. I'll be honest, she's making a joke out of me, but I have not been living wildly. I've been living fearful because I've forgotten that I'm approved, fully approved. I'm about to make some wild decisions again. Because I'm fully approved. Bad news for you is you're on the same train, so. But I would love it. I would so love it if there was a queue on Sunday mornings coming round here, because you just want to give testimony to the wild decisions you've made as an approved child of God. I want to hear the stories on Testimony Tuesday. If you don't know what Testimony Tuesday is, go to speak to Greg afterwards. On Testimony Tuesday, well, we've prayed wild prayers and we've made wild decisions because we are fully approved of God and we've seen him move on our behalf. You imagine the way that we might live if we understood how approved we are. Some of us, we're living in a way that doesn't demonstrate our full approval. Now, we don't live in order to gain full approval. We live from a place of full approval. So you don't need to change behavior, change thinking to make yourself any more approved. You need to change behavior and change thinking because you're already fully approved. You get to change behavior. You get to think differently. It's not you have to, you get to think those ways. Because now, like, all my sin is gone as far as the east is from the west. Like, I am fully approved. You and I are fully approved, and we can live wildly different because of that. That it would demonstrate his glory. Like, there is nothing more than, like, when we know we're fully approved, there's no better sign to the world. There's no better sign to your family. There is no better poster that your life is to the people around you than when you live from a place of full approval from God. Imagine the stories, imagine the confidence. The third thing is this, let's read what happens next in the story. So from verse 8 it says this, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What's happening here is, like, the world needs Jesus. The world needed somebody to stand in the gap in this moment. And our world right now needs the church to stand in the gap. And God is looking and he's surveying what is happening on his earth. And you can hear for yourself today the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Who is on my team? Who are my chosen people that I have set apart like grandma's china? Where are those people? And Isaiah in this moment was able to respond like this. And I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. You see, the holiness of God, having an encounter with the holiness of God, will set you up in that moment to understand that his holiness now inhabits you and you have his full approval, which then positions you in a place to be able to say, here I am, send me. He sets us apart, not just for his holiness, not just for his approval, but he says, for a purpose. I've set you apart for a purpose. He hasn't set us apart to shelve us like grandma's china. He set us apart to send us. You see, my grandma, we call her Grandy, she gave me this. And I was like, what am I going to do with that? And she said, but if I'm giving it to you, you must use it. Don't put it in a cupboard. It needs to be used. She was saying, I've never used it. It's just been precious in the cupboard. But would you use it? And you see, that's what God does. He doesn't set us apart to shelve us. His holiness is not designed that it may be shelved. It's designed that it may be sent. So we drink cocktails out of this. We use it. I let my children use it. And the principle is this. Don't you dare stay on the shelf, all holy and high and mighty. But let's get out off the shelf and understand that he has sent us. He has sent us into all the world that we may reconcile others to Christ. You see, we have been reconciled to Christ. And then the next few verses, you can carry on reading it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it is. It says this, and now I have given you the message of reconciliation. So you have been fully approved and reconciled. You have been fully empowered with my spirit. And now I send you, we say, here I am, send me. He sends us with the same message of reconciliation, that because I'm a whole thing, when I walk into broken places, wholeness follows me. So I can walk into broken homes knowing that they can be made whole by the presence of God that's within me. I can walk into dark moments and know I don't need to fear the darkness, because I'm going to light up the darkness with the power that's within me, because he's given me a message of reconciliation. He has anointed and approved us. But the trouble is, we keep placing ourselves and all our holiness and all our set apartness, we keep placing ourselves back in the Prada bag, thinking we've got to cover up because we feel less than, because pastor's anointed but I'm not. Oh, you have a real anointing. You don't need to say that. Everybody's got a real anointing. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's anointed us. He's approved us. He has sent us. You are anointed. Would you stop placing your life in a Prada bag? Pretending like you're worth something, or hoping that somebody might notice that you're worth something. And would you get yourself out of the Prada bag and stop putting yourself on the shelf and say, here I am, send me. You're grandma's china. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, I'm grandma's china. I'm grandma's china. But I'm supposed to be used. I'm a priceless heirloom that is supposed to be used. I've gone way over time. here's what we're going to do. We're going to respond in this moment, and then Greg and Amy can figure out what's happening next. There's some people in this room, and the only thing you need to remember today is this: you are fully approved. That just like my hand on the back of my children reminds them that they are fully approved, they have my full authority, and they are full of purpose. God's placed his hand on you. You are fully approved. Some people in the room need to get yourself out of the Prada bag, off the shelf, and into action. So you are full of the anointing of God in every situation. So if you need to respond to this today, why don't you stand to your feet where you are, and we'll pray. Jesus. Father, I ask that you would just come and place your hand again on our lives. God, would you reveal to us your full approval? Would you, God, pour out something of your holiness that does reveal to us our woe is me, but in that moment doesn't leave us in woe, but says, I'm going to put my holiness in you. Holy God, come and move, come and fill. Come and anoint your people again, Lord God, that they would understand what you've already put in them, Lord Jesus. Come and move, Lord God. We repent this morning, Lord Jesus, of placing ourselves in a Prada bag when we're Grandma's shiner all along. God, would you come and bring fresh revelation in this moment? Pour out your spirit of approval in this place, that we may be ministers of your approval in our homes, in our workplaces, on the streets that we walk, Lord God, in this community. Jesus. Jesus, why don't you just start to lift your hands in this place and thank him for who he is. Receive from him this morning. He wants to move in more power. You can join those that are already standing if you like.